the beginnings of the counter-Enlightenment. The Enlightenment confidence in reason, however, upon which all progress had been based, had always been philosophically incomplete and vulnerable. These philosophical weaknesses had emerged clearly by the middle of the 18th century in the skepticism of David Hume's empiricism and the dead end reached by traditional rationalism. The perceived vulnerability of Enlightenment reason was one of the major rallying points for an emerging counter-Enlightenment. The era from 1780 to 1815 is one of the defining periods of the modern era. During those 35 years, Anglo-American culture and German culture split decisively from each other, one following a broadly Enlightenment program, the other a counter-Enlightenment one. The Enlightenment had started in England, and it took England from having been a second-rate European power to being a first-rate one. The rest of Europe noticed, especially the French and the Germans noticed. The French were the first to pick up on the English Enlightenment and to transform brilliantly their own intellectual culture on the basis of it, before the Rousseauians wrested the revolution away from the Lockeans and turned it into the chaos of the Terror. Many Germans, however, had been suspicious of the Enlightenment long before the French Revolution. Some German intellectuals absorbed Enlightenment themes, but most were deeply troubled by its implications for religion, morality, and politics. Enlightenment reason, the critics charged, undermined traditional religion. The leading Enlightenment thinkers were deists, having abandoned the traditional theistic conception of God. God was no longer a personal, caring creator. He was now the supreme mathematician who had, eons ago, designed the universe in terms of the beautiful equations that Johannes Kepler and Newton had discovered. The deist's God operated according to logic and mathematics, not will and whim. The deist's God also seemed to have done his work a long time ago, and to have done it well, meaning that he was no longer needed on the scene to operate the machinery of the universe. Deism thus did two things. It turned God into a distant architect, and it accepted a rational epistemology. Both of those features caused major problems for traditional theism. A distant architect is a far cry from a personal God who is there looking after us or checking up on us day to day. He is not someone we pray to or look to comfort from or fear the wrath of. The deist's God is a bloodless abstraction, not a being that is going to get people fired up in church on Sunday morning and give them a sense of meaning and moral guidance in their lives. An even more important consequence of deism is the loss of faith. To the extent that reason is the standard, faith loses, and the theists of the 18th century knew that. To the extent that reason develops, science develops, and to the extent that science develops, supernaturalistic religious answers to be accepted on faith will be replaced with naturalistic scientific explanations that are rationally compelling. By the middle of the 18th century, everyone had spotted that trend, and everyone knew where it was headed. Even worse, from the perspective of the early counter-Enlightenment thinkers, was the content of the naturalistic answers that science was giving in the 18th century. Science's most successful models then were mechanistic and reductionistic. When applied to human beings, such models posed an obvious threat to the human spirit. What place is there for free will and passion, spontaneity and creativity, if the world is governed by mechanism and logic, causality and necessity? And what about the value consequences? Reason is a faculty of the individual, and respect for reason and individualism had developed together during the Enlightenment. The individual is an end in himself, the Enlightenment thinkers taught, not a slave or a servant of others. His happiness is his own to pursue, and by giving him the tools of education, science, and technology, he can be set free to set his own goals and to chart his own course in life. But what happens, worried the early counter-Enlightenment thinkers, to traditional values of community and sacrifice, of duty and connectedness, if individuals are encouraged to calculate rationally their own gain? Will not such rational individualism encourage cold-blooded, short-range, and grasping selfishness? Will it not encourage individuals to reject long-standing traditions and to sever communal ties, thus creating a non-society of isolated, rootless, and restless atoms? The Enlightenment's championing of reason and individualism thus confronted the early counter-Enlightenment thinkers with the specter of a godless, spiritless, passionless, and amoral future. Horror at that specter was most prevalent among intellectuals in the German states, where the prevailing attitude was hostility toward the Enlightenment. Many drew inspiration from Jean-Jacques Rousseau's collectivist social philosophy. Many drew inspiration from Hume's attack on reason, and many wanted to reinvigorate the German traditions of faith, duty, and ethnic identity that had been undermined by the Enlightenment's emphasis upon reason, the pursuit of happiness, and cosmopolitanism. As the Enlightenment grew in power and prestige in England and France, an emerging counter-Enlightenment gathered its forces in the German states. Our concern in this chapter and the next is with postmodernism's attack on reason. Postmodernism emerged as a social force among intellectuals because in the humanities, the counter-Enlightenment defeated the Enlightenment. The weakness of the Enlightenment account of reason was its fatal flaw. Postmodernism's extreme skepticism, subjectivism, and relativism are the results of a 2 centuries-long epistemological battle. That battle is the story of pro-reason intellectuals trying to defend realist accounts of perception, concepts, logic, but gradually giving ground and abandoning the field while the anti-reason intellectuals advanced in the sophistication of their arguments and developed increasingly non-rational alternatives. Postmodernism is the end result of the counter-Enlightenment attack on reason.